This episode of the OrthoBullets podcast will be another adapted OrthoBullets Core webinar from the OrthoBullets Core curriculum, and this one will cover wear and osteolysis, as well as catastrophic wear and polyethylene sterilization from the recon section. The topic will be reviewed by Dr. Javad Parvizi, who is a joint replacement surgeon and a professor of orthopedic surgery at the Rothman Institute and Thomas Jefferson University in Philadelphia.
So let's start with a question. 56-year-old. Left knee pain, undergoing knee arthroplasty 6 years ago. He was due to K until 18 months ago. Now comes in with painful. So the lab's C-reactive protein is 0.1 milligram per deciliter. Please note that C-reactive protein comes in two units, milligram per deciliter and milligram per liter. Sed rate is 3. Aspiration shows 157 leukocytes and 18% polymorphs. Obviously, this patient is not infected. As you know, the threshold that was determined by MSIS and the international consensus is the C-reactive protein of 10 milligram per liter, ESR of 30, cell count of 3,000, and differential of 85%. So the answer here would be a one-stage revision as this patient is not infected. So osteolysis around the components is not uncommon. It represents a histiocytic response to wear debris. And wear debris can be either polys or cement. And it elicits a macrophage-activated osteolysis process that then does result in loosening. Sometimes prosthesis micromotion, particularly rough prostheses that are in contact with cement, can also result in generation of particles that can initiate osteolysis. Types of wear, there's different types. Adhesive, volumetric, and linear wear get asked very commonly. Basically, volumetric is dependent on the size of the femoral head, and linear wear is lower with a smaller head. And the third body is when another foreign material gets stuck between the polyethylene. Talking of polyethylene, highly crossing polyethylene is now the most commonly used bearing surface in both the hip and the knee. The wear rate of the highly crossing polyethylene is roughly 0.1 millimeter per year based on tribology data. And as you know, there are different types of polyethylene from different manufacturers, but overall, the wear rate is approximately a millimeter per 10 years. Factors influences, of course, activity of the patient, alignment of the components, and the initial thickness of the polyethylene itself. Femoral head sizes between 22 and 46 millimeter don't seem to influence the wear rate of highly crossing polyethylene. Ceramics and other type of bearing surface, lowest wear rate amongst everything else, and the wear rate is almost negligible. The only problem you might see with ceramics is a stripe wear, which is as a result of liftoff or micro separation during the gait. And it can lead to squeaking, and it can also lead to possible fracture, although that has not been proven. Recurrent dislocation or incidental contact of femoral head with metal shear can also cause what's called lead pencil-like markings that leads to increased femoral head roughness and possibly increase the femoral polyethylene wear. Metals, they have smaller wear particles as well as lower wear rate, 2.5 to 5 micron per year. Titanium is not a great bearing surface. You need to remember this one as it is not sensitive. Metal on metal wear stimulates lymphocytes, not macrophages. It's been asked in the exam commonly. And it is dependent on the size and also position of the components. Macrophage activation sets up a whole cycle of molecular mechanism that involves cytokines as well as interleukins. In particular, TNF-alpha, TGF-beta are involved. Interleukins, in particular, interleukin-1 and interleukin-6 are also involved. These activate the prostaglandin cycle. And they can lead to increase in the level of these cytokines and activation of VEGF and also RANK and RANKL activation, which we will come to in a few slides. Let's talk about this commonly asked question again. A polyethylene cup has been sterilized in packaging. that contains oxygen. As you know, packaging in oxygen results in increase in free radical formation and damage. So you will be expected to know this in the exam, which obviously oxidation as a result of formation of free radicals and damage to the polyethylene. And because of that, now polyethylene is a sterilized and inert environment. Another question of highly crossing polyethylene, low susceptibility, fatigue fracture, and provocation and joint arthroplasty. Which of the following will result in the lowest susceptibility to fatigue crack? As you know, unfortunately, fatigue crack can happen with the highly crossing polyethylene, and the mechanism by which highly crossing polyethylene is produced does influence the mechanical strength of the polyethylene. And direct compression molding from polyethylene appears to reduce the mechanical strength the lowest. Catastrophic wear and polyethylene sterilization. This is a macroscopic premature failure polyethylene with delamination and large particle production. This is due to excessive loading and mechanical loosening. And the most important factors that influence catastrophic wear is the initial thickness of the polyethylene, articular surface design, kinematics, and the way highly crossing polyethylene is sterilized and manufactured. As far as critical thickness of polyethylene, 8 millimeters seems to be the number that everybody keeps being asked, and that still appears to be the right answer, although that might change with time, and it does change from knee to hip, and also whether it's a conforming or non-conforming surface. Articular surface design, basically two designs of the knee. As you know, the deeper congruous joint without the rollback, this maximizes the contact load, increases the contact stress, but a flat tibial polyethylene improves rollback and optimizes flexion, but it increases the contact stress and could lead to catastrophic failure of polyethylene. So flat design of tibial is the one that's associated with the highest increase in failure rate. So congruency of the polyethylene in the knee influences the wear rate as well as the failure. Sterilization in oxygen, not a good idea, and it leads to production of free radicals and early failure. Because of that, now polyethylene is sterilized in oxygen-depleted environment, as we talked about. The methods of production of polyethylene, multiple different times, rambar extrusion and machining. This is the one that affects the mechanical strength the least. Sheet compression molding and direct compression molding and net shaping. Not so common question in the exam, but you certainly need to know these mechanisms and their differences. Causes of failure, machining, shear forces cause subsurface stretching, that's within the 1 to 2 millimeter of the polyethylene surface, especially in the amorphous region, more than the crystalline area. And in order to counteract this problem, direct compression molding of polyethylene is what has been recommended. In the old days, you would see this white, classical white band in the subsurface of polyethylene, which was as a result of this phenomenon.
That's all for this review on wear and osteolysis, as well as catastrophic wear and polyethylene sterilization. If you would like access to the full video version of these core webinars, sign up for the OrthoBullets core curriculum today. There will be a link in the show notes for anyone who is interested. Look out for questions related to this topic on this weekend's question session, and hopefully this episode will have prepared you for that review. Thanks so much for listening. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session by OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. See you all tomorrow.